What a wonderful thing it'd be if we would just say that this year we're going to be the repairer of the breaches. We're going to be called the repairer of the breach. Help us as we think on these things for a few moments, please. Amen. The word breach means a gap, a breaking, or a rupture. What a wonderful thing to be called the repairer of the breach. And what a wonderful New Year's resolution it'd be for you to decide that you're going to be, in 1989, called the repairer of the breach. The first breach that I want to call to your attention that we ought to repair is the breach between man and God. God made man in His own image for fellowship with Himself. God and man enjoyed that fellowship until the evil one came and tempted man and lured man and woman fell from their lofty estate, and there was a gap, a breach that rose between man and God. God is a holy and just God. God could not be God and let you go to heaven as a sinner because you joined the church. He would not be God. God's righteousness must be satisfied. God had said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. God had said, the wages of sin is death. God had said, the sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. God has said, for by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So God must punish sin. He said He would. He must punish sin. God cannot fellowship with unrighteousness, or God must have the breach gapped, if you please. So Jesus came, and God was looking this way, and man was looking this way, and man had turned away from God, and God had turned away from man. There must be some way to get man back to God. There must be some way to get God back to man. So God thought of the only plan possible. And that is, God Himself let Jesus, His only begotten Son, come to the earth. Jesus never sinned, which means He did not owe the debt for sin. He did not have to suffer hell for Himself. He went to the cross, and on the cross He suffered the pangs of hell. A debt He did not owe, He paid. You and I, a debt we owe, we cannot pay without going to hell. Jesus said to the Father, Father, what is the price that would take for you to accept man back? And the Father said, My holiness and My righteousness demands that the sin debt be paid. Jesus went to the cross and paid that sin debt, and in so doing made it possible for God to turn back and offer man a restoration and the breach to be gapped, if you please. Now then, that means, as I've said so often, Christ died for you, but that's not the main reason Christ died. Christ mainly died for God. He died so God could take you back if you would want to come back. But apart from Christ dying for God, you could not have come back. God would not be God if He let you come back to Himself because you got baptized. God would not be God if He let you come back to Himself just because you took communion. God would not be God if He let you return to Himself just because you got confirmed. God would not be God if He let you come back to Himself because you did good works. There's a debt that He paid, and you cannot pay it. Only a sinless person can pay it. And Jesus paid that debt, died for God so that God could be just and still receive man back to Himself. But now, wait a minute. Somebody's got to go tell man. Man doesn't know that. Man does not by nature know that. There must be a messenger to tell that man. So I'm saying that basically, when it says, thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, when it comes to between man and God, basically it means you're going to be a soul winner. Let me commend to you this year that you be called the repairer of the breach. The repairer of the breach between God and man. The way has been made. The price has been paid. God's justice has been satisfied. Man can be restored to God. How? Through Jesus Christ. not through the church, not through baptism, not through the priest, not through the confessional booth, but through Jesus Christ. God said, if you will simply rely upon Jesus and that plan, God said, I'll take you back. So, in 1989, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if you and I would be known as repairer of the breach? The repairer of the breach between God and man. But there's another relationship between God and man apart from salvation. People come to God, they get saved, but they drift away from God. And their lives are useless. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing this year if instead of condemning the sinner, you'd be the repairer of the breach? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing this year instead of gossiping about the sinner if you'd be a repairer of the breach? Thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach. There are some folks today right, in this room, no doubt, don't know who you are, but there's some here, that you're called the maker of the breach, or the spreader of the breach, or the teller of the breach, or the gossiper of the breach. We get in our little huddles and we get some bad news. We like to spread it. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if you decide, make a New Year's resolution, 1989, I'm not going to be a teller of the breach. I'm not going to be a spreader of the breach. I'm not going to be a talker about the breach. But those people who drifted away from God, I'm going to do all I can to span that breach and repair that breach and bring people who've gone into sin back to fellowship with God Almighty. If there is a sin in fundamental churches that is above all other sins of fundamentalism, it is the sin of giving up on people because they have broken their fellowship with God. God never gives up on anybody. I said God never gives up on anybody. I said God never gives up on anybody. And the closer you get to God, the more you're going to want to repair the breach between God and man. Thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach. When you think about somebody, you think about soul winning. When you think about somebody else, you think about people that are trying to get folks back to God, the repairer of the breach. Number two, not only do I want for us in 1989 to be called the repairer of the breach between man and God, but I want us to be called the repairer of the breach between man and man. Why don't you decide this year that you're going to try to get men back with men? I'm talking about people who are estranged from each other, people who are angry at each other. Why don't you be a peacemaker? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called the children of God. What does it mean? It means if a person is a peacemaker and a repairer of the breach between man and man, it means people say he must be a Christian. Thou shalt be called the children of God. Repairer of the breach between man and man. I preached the other day in the funeral service for Brother Ray Hart, our beloved singer. On the program to say a few words were several preachers, and then I brought the message at the end. And one preacher I got to see I hadn't seen for a while. I'm going to give you his name. His name is E.G. Robertson, one of my favorite men. E.G. Robertson, I'll tell you a story. Years ago, I'm talking about probably 20 years ago, the Calvary Baptist Church in Connersville, about 30 years ago it was started, maybe 35 years ago, Dr. Herb Fitzpatrick started the Calvary Baptist Church in Connersville on the front porch of a house down there about 35 years ago. The church built, in fact, it was the largest Sunday school in the state of Indiana when I came to First Baptist Church 30 years ago. But Dr. Fitzpatrick left and went to Maryland and has been pastoring there for years, and then several pastors came. But the church had an awful split. I'm sorry, administrative reorganization. No, they didn't. They had a split. They had a Lulu of a split, a honey of a split. I mean, I'm talking about right almost down the middle. I imagine 55% of the people were on one side and 45% on the other. Now, the church was a pretty good-sized church. It ran about 1,100, 1,200, 1,300 Sunday school. And a pretty good-sized church. And they split right down the middle. And they had bitterness, unbelievable bitterness. So nearly half the church just pulled right out, went out the edge of town, built a beautiful building called the Baptist Temple. Almost sure that was it. Temple Baptist Temple. In fact, that's the church where I met Ray Hart. I was preaching down there. Dr. Robertson, E.G. Robertson, who, by the way, won Ray Hart to Jesus years ago. E.G. Robertson was pastor there, and Ray Hart was his music director, and that's where I met him. And, by the way, that's where Ray Hart became a national figure, because I was so impressed with his singing, I asked him to come to pastor school and sing. He came to pastor school and just, of course, you know what he does when he sings. And all across the nation, invitations started coming because of his being at pastor school. Wait a minute. Let's go back to the story. Calvary Baptist Church split. Baptist Temple started. Beautiful building at the edge of town. Several years passed. I don't know how many, a few. One night, the members of the Baptist Temple, which ran about 700 attendants at that time, came to church, just like you came tonight. When they got there, buses were lined up out in front of the church. And the people started wondering what's going to happen. Pastor stood up and said, "We're not going to have church here tonight. We're going down to the old Calvary Baptist Church where we had all the fights years ago and ask them to forgive us." Can you imagine the shock of the Calvary Baptist Church when the doors opened and the opposition came in? The pastor, they got on the buses, went back down to Calvary Baptist Church, walked in. Pastor walked up and said to the pastor, "I'd like to apologize to you." Now, he was not the pastor when they had the split. Robertson was not. But he said, we need to be friends. We don't need to be enemies. He said, "I want you to forgive us." The pastor of the Baptist Temple stood up and looked at the people of the Calvary Baptist Church and said, "My people are here tonight to apologize to you and to extend the right hand of reconciliation." Now, the church had been built out there. They didn't go back together as a church, but they still had two churches and still do. But Dr. Robertson said, "We're not going to live out there as your enemies. We're Christian people. We're not going to sit out there at the edge of town and hate you folks down here at Calvary Baptist Church. We're not going to do it." And that pastor is called the repairer of the breach. And the people stood up and apologized, and there they started hugging each other and getting right with each other. That isn't all they did. They bought a full-page ad in the Connersville paper. And in that ad, they apologized to the city of Connersville for the bad testimony they'd been, asking the people in Connersville to forgive them because they didn't act like Christians. But that isn't all. They printed a tract, a little folded track. And the track was an apology to the citizens of Connersville. And they put that track in every door in the city of Connersville. The track said, "Please forgive us. We've been ugly. We've not..." I don't mean ugly like you guys are ugly. I mean ugly in here. With Jack Patterson on the platform this morning, there's more ugly up here than any one single service we've had in a long time. But they said, "We've not been Christian. We want you to forgive us." Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's what this is talking about. Thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach. Now, what you like to do, some of us, we like to tell things that will make the breach wider. But the prophet said, there's going to be a day when you're going to come back to me, and I see that day, and in that day, you're going to be called the repairer of the breach. Why don't you decide to bring enemies back together this year? Why don't you decide to be the repairer of breaches this year? Why don't you decide to be the one that brings people together and holds folks together? Why don't you decide this year? I'll tell you a story. About 40 years ago, I preached in a little church. I won't tell you what state it was in. But I preached in a little church. I was on the platform. Church ran about 300 in Sunday school, I guess. A good friend of mine was pastor. Now, listen to this. I was on the platform. The pastor's daughter came up, and she's crying. She whispered something in her daddy's ear. The pastor of the church began to cry. I said, "What's the trouble, pastor?" He said, "My daughter just came and said my wife is leaving tonight." Pastor's wife, leaving tonight. Leaving mother, the daughter said. Leaving me, and leaving Daddy. I preached that night with a broken heart. Never mentioned anything about it. I just asked God's Holy Spirit to direct me. Invitation time came. That pastor's wife came down the aisle, knelt at the altar. Little girl ran down, put her arms around her, and asked her a question, and ran up to Daddy on the platform and said, "Daddy, Mama's not leaving. Mama's not leaving." I won't call the name of that pastor because he was not famous then. That man became famous in years to come. That man was one of the top 10 preachers in America, has been for this generation. If I called his name, everybody in this room, unless you're a very new visitor to fundamentalism, you'd know who he is. I've had the blessed privilege all these years of knowing that my sermon repaired the breach. All these years. Every victory that man has had, I had a part in that. You know, if you ever get the taste of repairing the breach, you won't want to gossip anymore. If you ever get a taste of pulling folks back together, you won't want to pull folks apart anymore. If you ever get a taste of trying to lift up the fallen, you won't want to push down the fallen anymore. If you ever get a taste of being a part of bringing someone who has a breach between them and God back to God, you won't want to spread all the garbage about them anymore. If you ever get one little taste of, here's a person over here. I mean, like I just mentioned about that preacher. Let me tell you that story. I called these two names. Everybody in this house would know them. About 25 years ago, two famous preachers in America broke with each other. One of them was a pastor who had the other one at his church every year for years. All of a sudden he said, no more. The other famous preacher decided that he was going to get the word out. And these men they didn't have an open nationwide break, but the one fellow who had the other guy said he wouldn't invite him back anymore. Well, this pastor that had decided, by the way, I was to go with one of these preachers to the other preacher's church to preach. And the pastor said, you can come, Dr. Hiles, but Dr. So-and-so can't come. So I said, well, if he can't come, I won't come either. You take us both, or you don't take either one of us. He said, well, that means you won't go anywhere unless you go with him? I said, no, I'll go without him, but I won't go anywhere that will cancel him out with no reason. So you have him, you have me, you have him. He said, Dr. Hiles, I want to have you in my church. I said, if you have me in your church, you'll have the other fellow in your church too. He said, all right, I'll do it. I'll have you both. And we both went back, and the breach was spanned. And those two men, two of the greatest men in America, in fundamentalism in the history of America, two of my heroes, they've been all for years now, very, very close. Very, very close. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying, see, you don't know how much fun it is to repair the breach. You think it's fun to get on your telephone and spread something you just heard. You scandalizer, you manure spreader, you. You think that's fun? You just one time in your life, just one time in your life, you just reach out and say, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do my best to help. From seeking sand, he lifted me. And you be a part of the lifting process, the healing process, the mending process. You'll never want again to pull anybody apart. Never again, as long as you live. Years ago, there was a pastor that had Dr. Rice and me every year. And he was not a famous pastor, but he's well known. Most of you would know him if I called his name. He's a mighty good man. In fact, I still preach for him. But Dr. Rice didn't believe in storehouse tithing. Well, he didn't believe in church house tithing. I do. He didn't. And he never did know I didn't, because I'm not the kind of guy that walks up and says, well, I just don't agree with you on something. I'm not the kind of guy that walks, well, Dr. Rice's a great man, but there are just a few things where we disagree. Well, if you disagree, keep your big mouth shut about it. He never did. 18 years I preached with him. He never knew that I believed in tithing to the church. 18 years. Somebody asked me in his presence, question and answer session, Dr. Hiles, you agree with Dr. Rice on storehouse tithing? Well, I said, that depends. If I'm in my own church, I believe in storehouse tithing. If I'm on the radio, I don't. Nah, just kidding. You call that pussyfooting is what you call it. You call it being afraid of John Rice's pen. That's what you call it. Survival is the word. Self-survival. Or you could call it love and friendship. I got a letter from Dr. Rice. F 18 years. He's preaching over here in Aurora, Illinois. Some of the Hiles Anderson students went over there and blabbed off. Told him my position. Then the Hiles didn't agree with you. Oh, shut up. Anyway, they did. He wrote me a letter. He said, I am shaken. I just heard your position on storehouse tithing. I must have an answer. I've never loved a man in my life like I love John Rice, but John Rice did not call me to preach. God did. And I did not give him an answer. I'm not your pope, and he wasn't my pope. But the next time we were together was in Milwaukee. I got there before he did in the motel, and I was waiting on him at the door when he checked in. He walked up. I'd never written him. The last time he had written to me was about that. I said, Dr. Rice, I want to take you somewhere. He thought I was mad. I said, come with me. He said, what? I said, you come with me. I said, now. It's an emergency. Come with me. I took him down, put him in the car I borrowed, took him down to the shopping center, went to the best men's store in Milwaukee. I said to the fellow there, put the best suit you got on this fellow. Dr. Rice picked him out a suit. I said, now put a pair of shoes, best pair of shoes you got on his feet. He did. I said, now I want you to put him overcoat on his back. He did. I said, now send him the best hat you got to go with the overcoat. He did. I said, now I want a shirt and tie and a pair of socks to go with the suit. He gave him to it. I paid the bill. Took him back to his room. I stood at the door and I said, Dr. Rice, I want to tell you, I love you like I love no man in the whole world. And I said, I've never known a Christian like you. And I just wanted to show you today how much I love you. And I hugged him. And did something I never did before or since. I kissed him on the cheek. Funny thing. All of a sudden, he didn't need my letter. He didn't have then to have the explanation. You know why? I loved him. Wait a minute. I got off the subject. You got me off the subject. There goes your 30 minutes. But there was a pastor, a tremendous fellow, and I count him as my friend to this day. And if he doesn't hear this sermon tonight, I'll continue preaching in his church. He wrote a book against Dr. Rice and Dr. Rice's position on storehouse tithing. And by the way, I agreed with his position in the book, but didn't agree with his writing the book. So he and Dr. Rice and I were going to his church, and he wrote Dr. Rice and canceled out. He called me and said, Dr. Tiles, would you come alone this year? And I said, no, I won't come without Dr. Rice. He said, well, you mean you won't go anywhere without Dr. Rice? I said, I'll go places without Dr. Rice. But if Dr. Rice and I were scheduled to come with you and you cancel him out, you also cancel me out and I won't come. I said, I'll go farther than that. I'll never preach in your pulpit again until John Rice preaches first. He got upset with me. But he's a great man. And great men would rather repair breaches than make breaches. I got a letter in about a month. He said, Dr. Hiles, you were right, and I was wrong. The quicker the world learns that, the better the world's going to be. Let the whole world know that. But anyway, he said, I've written Dr. Rice, and he said he would come. And he said, the truth is, I want you to come, him to come with you when you come again. And I tell you, when Dr. Rice stood to preach in that pulpit, we'd been there about 12, 13 years every year. When Dr. Rice stood to preach in that pulpit that night, I had a warm feeling I can't describe. I repaired the breach. Thou shalt be called the repair of the breach. I'd like for somebody someday to say, Brother Hiles is the repair of the breach. There's the third thing. Not only thou shalt be called the repair of the breach between man and God, and thou shalt be called the repair of the breach between man and man. And wouldn't that be a wonderful resolution this year for you? To say, I'm going to be a soul winner, that's repairing the breach between man and God, but I'm going to be the kind of person that brings folks together. I'm going to repair the breach between men and men, between people and other people. Number three, repair the breach between me and man. Between God and man, between man and man, and between me and man. The Jews had a time at the first of the year. The first 10 days of the year were called to the Jews the 10 awesome days. Now, by the 10 awesome days, these were 10 days when the Jews, the Jews felt like that there were three books. The Jews thought there were three books in heaven. They thought book number one, over here, book number one was the book, let's say this over here because it's a prettier book. This is the book where all the good people are written in heaven. And this is the book where all the bad people are written. In other words, I'd be in this book and you fellows would be in this book right here. Don't heckle me while I'm preaching. You ought to be repairing breaches instead of making them. Yeah, you just flipped your breeches with me too, by the way. Oh boy, let's reorganize into a church here. The Jews said that if you were very, very good, you were in that book and you go to heaven when you die. If you were very, very bad, you were in that book and you'd go somewhere else where the booger man lived. Then they said, most people were in this book right here. They were too good to be bad and too bad to be good, so they couldn't be good enough to be in this book or bad enough to be in this book. So most people were in this book right here, the middle book. Now the 10 awesome days were the 10 days of the year when the Jews could make things right so they could get transferred between that book and that book, but they only had 10 days to do it. So what did they do? The Jews paid all their back debts during the first 10 days of the year. They paid all their back tithes during the first 10 days of the year. They made it right with their enemies during the first 10 days of the year. In an effort to get transferred from the middle book to the good book during those 10 awesome days. I don't believe that your name is in the book, good book, because you're good. I think your name is in the good book because you've trusted Jesus. But I do like the idea of the first 10 days of the year being days to get your debts paid. I do like the idea of the first 10 days of the year being the days that you get your tithes paid up. I do like the idea of the first 10 days of the year being the days you get right with everybody, so at the first of the year, you start the whole year with a clean slate, nothing between my soul and the Savior, nor of this world's delusive good. I've renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine. Let nothing between. 27 years ago, the Dyer Mercy Hospital, Dyer, Indiana. I won't go to the story. You've heard it too many times already, but our daughter Linda, 4 years of age, had a tonsillectomy. They rolled her back to the room with other children having had tonsillectomy, and I was sitting beside her reading the Chicago Tribune. And I looked up, and she was swimming in a pool of blood. Absolute blood. She was almost bathing in blood. And I screamed as loud as I could, and I said, doctor, went out in the hallway, doctor, doctor, call the nurse! They came in, Linda was hemorrhaging from the tonsillectomy. And the nurse screamed, she's dying, she's dying, she's dying! She picked that little four-year-old body up in her arms and ran down the hallway to the surgery room, said, no admittance surgery, screaming, call Dr. Friedman! Call Dr. Friedman! Call Dr. Friedman! She's dying! Call Dr. Friedman! And I turned to walk back to the Dyer Mercy Hospital 27 years ago. And I walked in an empty room, realizing that our precious daughter may not live. I got on my knees, and I said, dear God, before I ask you to spare our daughter, is there anything in my heart that would keep you from answering my prayer? And suddenly, I saw on the wall of that room the picture of a deacon in Texas against whom I had ill will. And I made it right. I tried to call him. I couldn't get him because I couldn't find him. He moved to another city. I tried to call that city. Couldn't find where he lived. But that night, or that morning, while little Linda was in surgery, hanging between life and death, I say this of my hand in this book, and my right hand in the sky, I'd swear it if I had to. That's the last moment that Jack Hiles ever had bitterness in his heart toward anybody. Now you call me a liar, anything you want to call me, but it's true. You don't have to believe it. Don't care if you believe it or not, but it's true. And I'm not going to live that way. I cannot make you love me, but you can't keep me from loving you. And I cannot stop you from trying to destroy me, but I am not going to try to destroy you. I'm simply saying, I'm not going to live that way. If you want to, go ahead, but there's a better way to live. Be called the repairer of the breach between you and man. A few months later, in a little church in East Texas, I stood to speak. Looked out, and there sat that deacon on the fourth row from the front, right in the middle. I'll never forget it. It was April 15th. I had not yet put my income tax in. I never waited the last minute. I turned mine in about 11 o'clock at night on April 15th. I don't believe in waiting to the last minute. Anybody can wait to the last minute. Not me. I had to go back to church that night and finish my income tax. Looked out and saw that deacon and his wife sitting there. I couldn't wait till the service was over. He came to see me and I came to see him. We bumped into each other over here during the closing prayer. And I said, I'm sorry. And he said, preacher, you carry a heavy load. I should have been more understanding. And I said, I'm sorry. It was my fault. And that night I went back to my room, finished my income tax, and shouted all night long. Listen, if you can shout on income tax night, you're a good Christian. Thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach. Now, you can't make people, you cannot make people get right with you. But you can get right in here toward them. Lot never got right with Abraham, but Abraham repaired his part of the breach between Lot, Abraham and Lot. Barnabas never repaired his breach, but Paul repaired his. And by the way, Paul became the great missionary that Barnabas should have been. And had Barnabas been what he should have been, probably he would have been the Apostle Paul of the New Testament age instead of Paul. Because he was the fellow who was in charge of the first missionary journey. I'm simply saying, Paul repaired his part. Who are you bitter toward tonight? Who's wronged you? You're bitter toward him. This is January 1st, 1989. A new year in God's name. Start the year off with nothing between you and God and nothing between you and anybody in the whole world as far as you're concerned. Story I've told, but it's been years. I think. Probably last Sunday I told it. There's a lady in this church when I came. Among other ladies who hated my intestines. She also hated my gut some too. She was a strong American Baptist lady and I came and pulled the church out of the American Baptist Convention. She left the church when we had our administrative reorganization. Her son-in-law wrote me a letter. He was dying. And he said, Dear Pastor, you and I had our troubles at one time. We love each other now. You love me. I love you. He said, Pastor, my mother-in-law doesn't love you. And before I die, I'd like to see my mother-in-law love you like I do. He said, Is there any way you could pray hard for my mother-in-law to love you like I do? This gal lived in a home down in Fort Wayne. She lived to be about 108, 109 years old, 107, 106. She was over 100 at the time. I was preaching over in Mentor, I think it is, Ohio. About 150 miles, I think, from Fort Wayne. And one afternoon, I decided to drive to the place. She lives in a little senior citizen's apartment there, in a place just for senior citizens. Lived alone. That afternoon, I drove through a tornado. I saw a tornado lift a trailer home up and put it right on the, to turn it over and put it top down within 50 feet, right over here beside the road. I drove 150 miles, I guess. I looked her up. She hated me like few people have ever hated me, and a lot of people have really hated me. I'm glad that you're happy about that. Guess if I was dying with cancer, you'd talk in tongues tonight, wouldn't you, man? I walked up, rang the doorbell to her apartment. Listen. Rang the doorbell to her apartment. And she came to the door. She looked at me. She couldn't believe it. I said, "Don't close the door. I've come today to make peace. Don't close the door. Please, I beg you. Let me come in. Give me 5 minutes." She very abruptly said, "Come in." I sat down across from her and I said, "Your son-in-law is dying. I want to show you a letter." I read the letter to her and showed it to her. I said, "He wants us to love each other. Now I'm going to pray." I said, "First, if I've done anything to offend you, I'm sorry. I want you to forgive me. And I'm going to pray." When I finished praying, I said, "Now, if you're willing to be my friend, would you put your hand in mine?" And I felt the warmth of her tears on my hand. And I felt her hand trying to find my hand. She hit me about the wrist there and slid her hand down like that. And I prayed. And she prayed. And I left. I could not make you love me. But I can repair my part of the breach. And you cannot make all of your enemies love you, but you can repair your part of the breach. You don't have to render evil for evil. That's not Bible. You don't have to curse those that curse you. That's not Bible. Bible is bless those that curse you, love those that hate you, do good to those that do bad to you, pray for those that despitefully use you. That's Bible. Thou shalt be known as repair of the breach. I was preaching out west in a church where I'd preached off and on for 28 years. I loved the pastor very much, still do. I preached one morning. I was supposed to preach. In fact, one of your sisters was there. One of the Lewis girls was there in the service that morning. So she'll tell you about this. I preached that morning at about 9:30. I was going to preach to 10:30. They're going to have the offering, a special number, and I was going to preach again, twice, just like that. I hardly ever do that, but this guy was such a good friend of mine, I did it for him. I finished preaching. This man stood up after I finished preaching, and he said, by the way, 800 people there that morning, or Tuesday morning, 80 odd preachers, and one normal one. But over 80 preachers were there, maybe 90, and over 800 people. The pastor stood up and I finished preaching. Within 15 minutes, I had to preach again. He said, "Folks," he said, "I must say this. I do not agree with what Dr. Howes preached this morning. I've got to tell you." He mentioned a few things he didn't agree with, and he said, "I don't agree with it." Of all my friends out there got ready for me to come back when I preached the second time. They thought, "Well, Howes is going to deck him." But Howes is not a decker. I want to be a breach repairer. So, I stood up and I said, "If there are members of this church here this morning, and there are, I did not weep or shed tears, sweat, and blood to build this building." I said, "That man did. You follow him, not me. I'm not your pastor. You follow him." I preached on the love of Christ or something like that morning. That night went back, preached the closing sermon. I preached on Sunday. Never made mention of anything negative. Why? That was his church. I'm not going to destroy a man's church. I want to be called a repairer of the breach. I got on the airplane. I never cried as hard when I left the town as I cried when I left that town next morning. 28 years I've been going there. That's it. It's been several years. Last month I got a letter from that preacher. He said, "Dear Brother Hiles, I want you to come preach for me again. I want you to come preach for me again." He said, "I've loved you all these years." He said, "I'm your friend. I want you to be mine. I want you to come preach for me again." That's what you call a big man. I mean, he had to repair the breach. I think personally, before the new year came, he wanted to repair the breach. Whatever the breach is, repair it. Between God and man, between man and man, between you and man. I got voted out of the convention that I wouldn't support because it was getting liberal. I wouldn't support their liberal schools. A friend of mine who was an evangelist came to our house that night, nervously paced the floor, angry. "Why are you sitting, Jack?" He called me Jack. We're talking about, I was 20 and 28 years old. He said, "You ought to print this story up and tell it, send it to every pastor in the Southern Baptist Convention. That's what you ought to do." I said, "That's a good idea." So I did. He came back in about a month. He said, "You know what you did? You ruined me. I can't associate with you anymore. All my meetings are canceling out because you sent that story to every pastor in the Southern Baptist Convention." Well, I said, "You told me to." He said, "You didn't have to do it." He broke with me. His singer was a member of our church. His singer left the church. He broke with me. "Wait a minute. I was preaching." Well, it must have been 7, 8 years later in Baytown, Texas. I was pastoring here at the time. Altar was full that night with people. Wonderful service. I did not know that this preacher was there, this evangelist was there. I called his name. Many of you would know the name. I was kneeling at the altar with the others. I felt somebody touch my shoulder and shake me like that. I looked up and there's this evangelist. Invitation going on. He said, "Brother Jack, I'm sorry. I've had no peace since I did what I did. I knew it was wrong when I did it. I want you to forgive me." "Would you forgive me?" "Would I forgive you? Is the Pope a Catholic? The Cowboys going to come in last place next year? Did you hear that Mike Ditka is leaving?" Brother Crutchfield told me this morning, Mike Ditka is leaving the Bears. He's going to go coach the Cowboys. He's tired of professional football. Laugh! Make fun of sacred things if you want to. God still loves the Cowboys. That's why that hole is in the dome there in the Cowboys, so God can see his favorite team play. And that's why God is closing it up now. He's tired of seeing his favorite team play. I said, "Of course, you're forgiven. Repairer of the breach. Thou shalt be known as repairer of the breach." That's what Jacob did to Esau. Esau had tried to kill him. Jacob had tricked him. Sinned against him. Been gone for 20 years. He said, "I'm going to make it right with Esau." By the way, that's when Jacob became a prince in the sight of God. Jacob didn't become a prince because he wrestled with God all night. Jacob became a prince because Jacob was getting his own heart right with his brother against whom he had ill will for 20 years. I'm not saying tonight that you ought to walk up to somebody and that doesn't know you don't like them and say, "I've been hating you and I want you to forgive me." No use in telling them. Nothing makes me feel any worse than that. A fellow I thought loved me with all his heart walks up and says, "Forgive me for the bitterness I've had." Shut up! Abraham had been forsaken by Lot, cheated by Lot. Lot took the well-watered plains toward Sodom. It was Abraham's land. But Abraham did not want to have any strife. He said, Lot, there's strife between your herdmen and my herdmen. Choose what you want. And Lot chose the best and left Abraham the barren desert land. But Abraham, when came time for God to destroy Sodom, Abraham came to God and said, don't destroy Sodom. Why did Abraham say that? Because Lot, his nephew Lot, was there. Almost his adopted son. Abraham had reared him. He loved him. Abraham could not make Lot's heart right, but Abraham could make Abraham's heart right. Thou shalt be called preparer of the breach. Thou shalt be called. 1989. Let that be your nickname. You know what he is? He's the repairer of the breach. You know what he is? He spends his life repairing the breach between God and man. You know what he is? He spends his life repairing the breach between man and man. You know what he is? He's repair of the breach. He spends his life repairing the breach between himself and man. And quickly, very quickly, number four, between God and God. Hold it. You say, wait a minute. A breach between God and God? Oh, yes. Don't you remember on the cross Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Do you know why Jesus was forsaken by God? To get you back with God. That's why it was. You can repair that breach between God and God by making valid the price that Jesus paid. If you're not saved, you can repair the breach between God and God. Reach out to God the Father and say, I'm sorry. Reach out to God the Son and say, I trust you. And the Son of God and the Heavenly Father kiss each other as mercy and peace joins together. And you can repair the breach. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing for you to do in 1989? January 1st, first day of the year, for you to be known as repairer of the breach. Between God and man, that's soul winning. Between God and man, that's bringing folks back to God who drifted away. Between man and man, the people that you know, try to be a peacemaker between people. Between you and man, make your heart right toward everybody in the whole world. And between God and God, you be so close to Him that you make valid and purposeful the separation between God the Son and God the Father when He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Would you bow your heads, please?